The next case, Vitamix Corporation v. Kappa, number 2012-1024. Mr. Dutra.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Jeremy Dutra, and I represent the appellant Vitamix Corporation. This appeal from the Board of Patent Appeals turns on claim construction alone. There is no genuine factual dispute between Vitamix and the Patent and Trademark Office concerning the structure of the blending containers disclosed in Ash and Hauser, the two primary references Vitamix identified. Here, there are three incorrect claim constructions by the examiner left uncorrected by the board. This morning, I would like to address two of them: corners formed by the four sidewalls and truncated wall. Turning to the first one, corners formed by the four sidewalls, claims 1 through 10 of the 842 patent each recite this limitation. The board incorrectly narrowed that language to only those corners formed between two sidewalls. That is not consistent with the specification. Indeed, the board itself, in its decision, if you turn to page 810 of the appendix, notes the 842 patent specification does not explicitly state that the corners formed are only between two sidewalls. Indeed, figure 11, the figure that is in the 842 patent, plainly shows that the four sidewalls form five corners. Even more critical here, though, is that the inventor acted as his own lexicographer. He defined what corners formed by the four sidewalls are. The 842 patent is a child patent. It is the continuation of the parent 117 patent. In both patents, referring to figure 11, the patentee said that the truncated wall, wall 135, is closer to the central axis than the corners formed by the four sidewalls. Now, a person of ordinary skill in the art, attempting to interpret the claims and what they mean, would certainly look at the 117 specification as part of the intrinsic record. And what does the patent holder tell us? He defines what the corners form of the four sidewalls. He tells us what those reference corners are. He says, yes, they include the three corners formed between two sidewalls, but they also include the two corners formed by the sidewall with the truncated wall. The inventor is bound by his definition, so too is the PTO. Now, claim differentiation is yet another basis that underscores why the board got this wrong. Unlike claims 1 and 9, the two independent claims that broadly recite corners formed by the four sidewalls, claim 11 is narrower. Claim 11 is limited to, and it defines the reference corner, as a corner formed where the other two of the four sidewalls meet. In other words, claim 11 is narrow. It limits the reference corners to only those corners formed between two sidewalls. As this court has said, two independent claims are presumed to have different scope when different words are phrased.
Why can't we interpret the difference between claims 9 and 11 as being that 9 deals with whether the distance comparison is between the truncated wall and all the corners, whereas claim 11 is the truncated wall and only one corner?
Because it's defining the reference.
A difference, right? And that's a distinction between 9
and 11. It is a distinction, Your Honor. I think that's what I'm getting at here. That the corners formed by the four sidewalls, the reference corners for claim 9, broadly includes all of those corners as reference corners. And so the truncated wall is positioned closer than all of those. And you're correct. In claim 9, it is limiting that reference corner to just the corner formed between two sidewalls. It is narrowing the exact reference corner to a single corner. Claim 9, like claim 1, is broader. It's all of the corners formed by the four sidewalls comprise the reference corners, just as the inventor said they do in the 117 specification. Now, going back to the patent board's decision here, as I noted, they said that, and they agree, they acknowledge, that the patent does not explicitly state that the corners formed are only between two sidewalls, but they nevertheless held otherwise. And why? Their decision, if you look at it, is three sentences on page A10 here. It's really just conclusion without much reasoning or rationale. What is the reason? What do they cite to in the patent specification for why to narrow it to only those corners formed between two sidewalls? They cite the patentee's language in the disclosure of invention that the wall, the truncated wall 135, is closer to the central axis than the corners formed by the four sidewalls. Their conclusion doesn't flow, however. Now, there's no rationale, as I mentioned, so it's unclear as to whether the board just thought, looking at figure 11, that somehow the 135 truncated wall is further from the central axis than the corners formed by the sidewall with that truncated wall. Of course, the board, if that was their assumption, got the geometry wrong. If you turn to page 7 of our reply brief, Vitamix shows basic geometry here, Pythagorean theorem. Any point along that truncated wall 135, looking at figure 11, is going to be closer to the central axis than those three corners formed between two sidewalls, as well as the two corners formed by the sidewalls with the truncated wall. A person of ordinary skill in the art, applying the broadest reasonable interpretation, knowing what the inventor said is the definition of those reference corners, corners formed by the four sidewalls, looking at figure 11, and armed with basic geometry, would understand that corners formed by the four sidewalls is not just limited to corners formed between two sidewalls, but also comprises and includes corners formed by at least one sidewall. Your Honor, I would like to turn your attention to the truncated wall limitation. Every claim in the 842 requires a truncated wall. The examiner here incorrectly construed that limitation to mean a wall that truncates a corner of a blender as compared to the other corners of the blender. We submit that construction is not supported by the specification. Just as with the reference corners, the inventor again acted as his own lexicographer. He defined, he told us what the truncated wall is. It is a wall that truncates, in essence, the typical corner that would otherwise be formed between two sidewalls. He didn't talk about comparing it to the other corners. He doesn't say that it's typical of the jar. All he says, his definition, it's merely the corner one would expect to form between the two adjacent sidewalls if you remove the truncated wall. And the intrinsic record, again, supports Vitamix's position and undermines the examiner's. Here, the inventor disclosed in the written embodiment of his, or the, in the written description of his invention, that the four sidewalls may be arranged in a generally rectangular tapered shape. Sure, the preferred embodiment may be that they're rectangular, but the may is an important clue. It shows that the inventor contemplated that this invention also includes non-rectangular configurations. And in a non-rectangular configuration, the corner that's been truncated by the truncated wall may not be typical of the jar, and in fact may not be the same as the other corners of the jar. Again, further undermining the board or the examiner's construction here. Now, as I mentioned, claim construction is absolutely critical. It is what the board relied upon in denying Vitamix's invalidity contentions. If you adopt Vitamix's construction of corners formed by the four sidewall and truncated wall, or should I say the inventor's definition of that, as disclosed in the patents, I submit that claims 9 and 10 are anticipated by Ashenhauser. I'm not sure there's any dispute about that. Now, turning to obviousness, there is no dispute that claims 1 through 8 each require a handle limitation. There is no dispute that the primary references that Vitamix identified, that the Ashenhauser, those blending containers, do not disclose a handle limitation. And there is no dispute that Vitamix identified the three secondary references, the Blendtec blending jar, Grimes, and Proth, solely for the handle limitations. It would have been neither the examiner, board, nor the director in his brief dispute Vitamix's position that it would have been obvious to a person of ordinary skill in the art to just add the handle in these secondary references to the blending containers disclosed in Ashenhauser. So again, obviousness like anticipation turns on claim construction. Accepting Vitamix's position as to corners formed by the four sidewalls and the truncated wall limitation, Ash or Hauser, in combination with any one of the three secondary references, unquestionably invalidates claims 1 through 8 as obvious. Your Honor, I would like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal unless there's any further questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll reserve your time. May I please court? The board correctly construed the claim language consistent with the specification. As Judge Prost, you recognized, the specification here is all about, and this invention is all about, a blending jar geometry that is asymmetric and that results in this effect of reducing cavitation. Vitamix
Of course, capitation isn't in the claim, is it?
No, it's not.
We're looking at the structural aspects of the claim.
No, it's not. But if you, one of skill in the art, were to look at the specification in its entirety, you begin with column 2 where it talks about the problem of cavitation. And in the summary of the invention, it then talks about the blending jar geometry and talks about the blending jar geometry that is designed to attack or to deal with this cavitation problem. And then in column 6 and 7, which are the sections that deal with the blending jar geometry, it discusses the four side walls, the fifth truncated wall, and then again ties it at the end. It goes accordingly. At the beginning of column 7, it talks about accordingly. The vortex then is shifted off-center from the axis of the blade. So taken together as a whole, the specification is very clear that the whole blending jar geometry is designed to be asymmetrical and to create this shift in the fluid vortex from the axis of the blade. And as you recognize too, and that is the problem that I think for Vitamix's problem, is they're trying to shoehorn the Hauser and Ash references, which as you recognize are symmetrical, and in fact have eight walls, into this invention and these claims, which are clearly not directed to that.
What about your friend's point that, you know, the claim language says comprising, the specification and the preferred embodiment says may, all of those terms under the board's construction as the broadest possible reading suggest a broader reading? I mean, that's what I understand what the points are. What's your response?
Well, the claim language does say comprising, but it's also, it is not open-ended. It talks about four planar side walls and a fifth truncated wall, which is what is described and disclosed in the specification. And more specifically, when you look at this last term and try to construe that, wherein the fifth truncated wall is positioned closer to the corners, positioned closer to the axis than the corners formed by the sidewall, when you look at the specification in columns 6 and 7, it becomes readily apparent that the meaning of those terms are directed to shifting that vortex off-center. And specifically, if we break this down as the board did, and we look to first the meaning of the corners formed by the four sidewalls, three arguments, I think, that support it. One is the claim language itself does not say corners formed by the walls of the blending jar, or corners formed by at least one sidewall, or corners formed between sidewall and a truncated wall. It says corners formed by the four sidewall. Then when you look at column 6 and 7, in two places when it refers to the truncated wall and its distance to the axis, as compared to the four sidewalls, it says right after there, walls 132, 134, 136, and 138. It never says 135. And that's both at the bottom of column 6 and then again at the top of column 7 when it talks about the corners formed by walls 132, 134, 136, and 138. And lastly, when it gives even an example of the distance, it talks about 3.5 inches. And clearly, if it was contemplating these other corners that are formed between the sidewall and the truncated wall, those would be a different distance. So there's at least three points there that support that construction the board gave to that term. With respect to the other term, positioned closer to the axis, again, I can point to three pieces of evidence in the specification that support that. One is first at the top of column 7, it expressly says at the height of the blade. Secondly, in column 6, and more generally as you look to the description, and which refers, by the way, to figures 10 to 13, and only figure 11 is really the relevant figure. Figure 11 is a horizontal cross-section of the blending jar. So logically, the way to look at the distances and to make those comparisons is in a horizontal plane of the blending jar. And only, in fact, if you do that, would you get the result that is described, which is that the truncated wall is closer to the axis than the other walls. In other words, if you were to measure that distance on the truncated wall up at the top, it would not be closer than the other side walls. And then lastly, as I have discussed, when you look at it in context, which is every single time in the specification when it discusses the blending geometry, it connects that to this function that it has, this inherent function that this blending jar geometry has, which is to shift that fluid flow vortex off-center from the plate axis. If there are any additional questions?
Any questions?
Okay. Then I will cede my time.
You divided your time with Mr. Foster?
Please, the court. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Grant Foster, and I represent the patent owner, K-Tech, in this appeal. I'd like to first address this issue. The claim construction, of course, is reviewed de novo, but this is an argument that was you will not find anywhere below, before the board there, or before the board, in terms of the central re-exam unit or the original examiner. I've got to clear up a misperception. They state in their brief that we excise this language from the 842 patent. A careful review of the file history of the 117 patent will reveal that just before the 117 patent was allowed, the examiner required, by way of an examiner amendment, the insertion of that language, as he states, for clarity to support a few of the dependent claims. He later states that this amendment is clearly supported by the drawings and the amendment is not being made for purposes of patentability. It was simply added in those other claims for the 117 patent, but it's not before this court. This is a brand new argument, and I have to say that 6 years of litigation with all of the incentive of the millions of dollars spent, it's remarkable that for the first time this is when we get to hear this. But nevertheless, what is stated in the 117 patent is in no way inconsistent with what we're dealing with here. There were a couple of other questions that were asked I'd like to address. Vortex not being in the claims. It's certainly not in the claims, but a person of ordinary skill in the art reviewing the 842 patent specification will use that functional description in the specification as a barometer to determine if the specification and the claims, the limitations of the claims, are being reviewed so that they receive their broadest reasonable interpretation as interpreted by a person of ordinary skill in the art. If you get no functional benefit, you simply are not being reasonable in the broad way that you discuss the claim limitations. Now, one thing that's important, if they're going to cite to the 117 patent and rely on that for purposes of the way the claims can be construed, on pages 22 and 23 of our brief, we talk about what was actually disclaimed during prosecution. It's the Derwinter reference, where corners never intersected, and we used that argument to distinguish over Derwinter. If we surrendered that subject matter in the 117 patent, the same should apply to Ash and to Hauser, if indeed one were to consider those to be truncated walls in the corners. then the sidewalls would never meet to form corners, which was the basis of the board's decision below. What about the word comprising? Judge Prost indicated that that was of concern to the court. I'd like to bring to the attention to the court the In Re Suit Co. Surface Inc. case, which is found at 603 F3D 1255, where they talk about you can't use the word comprising to just open-endedly and unreasonably broaden a claim limitation. And we think that this court's precedent applies in this particular situation. Stepping back, there are a number of things that are clearly and unquestionably resolved. And I would encourage this court to look at the specification. It's the bedrock of claim construction as we know. It's the safe harbor. Look at column 6, line 58 to column 7, line 14, and every question that's been appealed can be answered. The meaning of the fifth truncated wall. It brought in the word typical. The fifth truncated wall would truncate what otherwise would be a typical corner. It brings in corners formed by the four sidewalls. It explains, they said that there's no comparison requirement. It talks about typical, it talks about as compared to the corners, the fifth truncated wall, and then later on the next page with the distances, it talks about in contrast, the fifth truncated wall in contrast to the corners. There's clearly comparison. My time is over. I appreciate the opportunity to be before this court today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just stress a couple of points. The first being the truncated wall element. It is comprising. It is open-ended. The inventor does recite four sidewalls, but says a fifth truncated wall. Doesn't preclude a sixth, a seventh, an eighth truncated wall. And a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand in Ash, by the way, Your Honor, turning to page A304 of the appendix. Ash was specifically addressed to the cavitation problem in column 1. In column 2, it says the present invention overcomes the disadvantages discussed above. One of those disadvantages was cavitation. And on column 6, on A306, Ash also discloses that it is because of the many faceted surfaces, the structure of its container, that addressed the cavitation problem. So, Your Honor, a person of ordinary skill in the art, given the open-ended claim language, given the fact that the functional limitation is not in there, would nevertheless understand that the prior art Ash addresses the situation and that the claims do not preclude a sixth, a seventh, or an eighth truncated wall. Corners formed by the four sidewalls. Again, the inventor defines what they are. He tells us it's not just limited to the corners formed between two sidewalls. He says, look at figure 11. It comprises five corners. The corners formed between two sidewalls and also the corners formed by the sidewalls with the truncated wall. So again, Your Honor, I submit, adopting the inventor's own definition, the broadest reasonable interpretation is submitted by Vitamix for corners formed by the four sidewalls and the truncated wall. Aschenhauser anticipate claims 9 and 10, and in combination with any one of the handles shown in Grimes, Proth, or the Blendtec blending container, render claims 1 through 8 invalid as obvious. Unless this panel has any further questions, I have nothing further to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deirdre, Mr. Nelson, Mr. Foster. The case is taken under submission.